This morning we will be reading from Micah 4, verses 1 through 5. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. For the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. The Word of God.
There are some things that almost everybody gets wrong. I think one of the reasons that we get the far future often wrong is because we are informed even more by movies than we are by Scripture. When there are movies about the end of days or the last times, it usually presents a dystopian kind of view with horrors and fires and roving gangs of marauding murderers. Or it says that what the end of all things is good people sitting on little clouds, holding little golden harps, and strumming away for all eternity. And people are either think that the future is going to be very horrifying, or it will be very boring. But no one has made a movie about the future as the Bible explains it or as God has revealed it to us. What will the new world be like? What will happen after Jesus comes back and he makes all things new? We're not going to be angels. Sometimes people say that, and at some funerals you hear, "Oh yes, she left us because God needed another angel." Well, you know what? Angels are completely different types of beings than we are. We're not going to become angels, we're going to be people. We're going to be human beings made in the image of God, and we will stand on the ground, and we will look at the creation, and we will have our place in it. We will have things to do. We will be engaged in the cultural mandate. When God said to Adam and Eve, "Go forth, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth," he was talking about care for it, tend it, make it develop in the way that it should, that is full of blessing and promise and hope. We're not going to be just sitting around playing harps. And we're also not going to spend eternity standing around the throne of God just looking at the throne. I think that's a judgment day picture, and surely when we are all gathered for that day of judgment, we're all going to be there, it seems, Scripture teaches. But from there we go to live on the earth and fulfill the perfect life that God has given to us. So we are going to be living on earth, but an earth that does not have sin in it, that doesn't have disease in it, that doesn't have violence in it. A world in which people know their God and serve Him, people who know each other to be brothers and sisters and love each other. It will be paradise, but it will be a very earthly, a very physical, a very real world in which we live. And we look forward to that day. And that's why the church has said forever, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Come back. Why? Because you are going to make everything so good. And we as your people are going to be able to praise you without the handicap of sin that prevents us from really knowing and serving and loving you. We are going to find peace and purpose and joy, and all sadness will be a vague memory. It will be a place of joy. Well, thinking about that new earth and what an interesting, amazing place that is going to be, and I thought, what are our jobs going to be? What are we going to do on this new earth? I think, am I going to be a preacher? Maybe. I think that in the new earth that people are going to gather to worship. And what we are doing here is such a good thing. I can't imagine it not continuing in that new earth, in that glorious time of refreshment and recreation. I think some of us are farmers. Are you going to be a farmer? It could well be that in that new earth, you are going to be one who tends the earth, who tends the creatures that makes there be fruitfulness in the earth. I wonder, is there going to be bankers? Are we going to have money? Could well be. I don't know about that, but it could be that there's going to be exchange of goods. I think there's going to be artists. I think there's going to be musicians. I think there's going to be all kinds of jobs. But there's some jobs that we have now that are simply not going to be part of our new reality. There could be teachers, but there's not going to be soldiers. There's not going to be people that have equipped themselves with weapons to kill others. There might be police officers who direct traffic, make sure that everybody is safe. But there's not going to be detectives investigating murders and robberies, because those things are not going to be in existence. Now, in this day and age, of course, those kind of jobs are necessary. Some of us have cancer. We talked about that already. And we go to an oncologist who looks at what's wrong with us, determines what is the right treatment, and helps us to engage in it. So, Lord willing, and may it be, that cancer is defeated in us. We are so grateful for oncologists. But that is certainly a job that is not going to be required in the new earth, because cancer is not going to be a thing. It'll just be a memory. We know that people have to do these hard kind of jobs. And we are grateful to them. The vision of the future is that those who have paid terrible prices also are healed from their pains. That includes death, of course. And when we think about those that we have lost, those who have gone to be with the Lord. We've named some that just this week have gone to be with the Lord. We know that there's some who recently have left us, and we are still grieving them. And some of us are thinking of people who died now years ago, even long, long ago, and still that pain, that void is in our lives. It becomes something that we don't weep over daily, but it's there. That will be healed when we find those who knew the Lord to be resurrected with us and experiencing the joy of salvation. We know that the diseases that are ours will be taken care of. And that whatever is tormenting us, if it's Parkinson's or heart disease or whatever, we know that that illness, that disease, is not going to be the victor in the end. You know, all these things that are the creation, the result of brokenness, that when Jesus returns, that all those things melt away in the fire of His coming, and all that remains is that which is good and pure and hopeful indeed. And so we look forward to that. The vision of Micah chapter 4 says that people will come to the Lord, they will be taught the way of the kingdom, and then they will live in obedience. That is what it will be. The nations, whether they're from the parts of the world that our ancestors have come or from others, that they indeed will all be drawn to the Lord, and that they will come to understand what is the truth, and they will live in it. And that's a vision that can't help us but get excited to imagine, where the whole world is full of people who are doing nothing other than exactly what the Lord wants of them and of us. The consequences of that which is to come, is that the word of the Lord is known, and that therefore there is peace. God gives the gift of peace. The image of a sword being beaten into a plowshare, and a plowshare, of course, is the part of the plow that sticks into the ground, that turns the soil over, is striking. It's also striking. I picked this picture because this is a statue that's at the United Nations building, and it was a gift, if you can believe it, from the Soviet Union. And it's not a country that we think, oh yeah, that was a nation or a federation of nations that they were all about peace. No, they were the enemy, even our enemies as people of the West. And they gave a gift of a biblical image that is powerful and hopeful. And I wondered, you know, is the Spirit moving even in that? Well, weapons will be unnecessary. There will be no more AK-47s, no more Glocks, no more swords and spears. Instead, there will be only that which advances blessing. We look forward to experiencing peace, to having freedom from fear, and walking with God. That future vision is given to us so that we can understand the times in which we live, know what we have to do, and work for the future that is to be. We don't live in that utopia of the new creation yet. We still live in this world where we are between the victory of Christ on the cross and the empty grave and His return. We're in this in-between period. And in that in-between period, it is our call to advance things in line with what God wants it to be. So we are called to be agents of peace. We are called to put down anything that brings about both pain or sadness or brokenness. And sometimes in this earth, that means that we have to take stands that are risky. There's debate within the Christian community about armies and soldiers And some of our brothers and sisters in some fellowships say that Christians in no way should ever be part of an army. That we are to be people of peace, and how can you be people of peace if you're holding a gun? It's been, in our tradition has been more that sometimes it is the call of our God-appointed society to stand up against oppression, against hatred, against racism, against exploitation of others. And therefore, we have to stand ready to hold the gun, but not simply for violence's sake, not for the glorification of that kind of violence, but for the hope of a better world. Which is one of the reasons why it's so important that we be engaged in society, that we vote, that we encourage the appointment of leaders in society and in government who are people of wisdom, who will lead us in ways that allow society to have the right priorities. We have heard in times in history where the nation called its men and women to war because of hatred of the other, because of xenophobia. We don't like people of different color. We don't like people of different language. We don't like people of different economic class. Sometimes people have been called to war because of greed. If we go to war and beat them, we can take all their stuff. We can have access to their oil or whatever. And that's the reason. It's not because of anything noble other than we want to enrich ourselves. And as Christians, we'd say that is no reason to go to war. When we look at the wars that Canada has fought, we would say, I think, that they were righteous battles. That when our soldiers were called to confront Nazism in the Second World War and to put down the hatred that was being fostered by Hitler, we'd say, that was a war worth fighting. And that was a cause worth giving your life for. Or when you hear about some of the things that were happening in Afghanistan and the terrible excesses of the Taliban and things like that, you say, yeah, we have to go there to protect people. And therefore, we say, if you're called to go to war and you feel like it's your calling to serve in the military, then that is a good thing, and we bless you on the way and pray for your safety. But we also sometimes need to be ready to say this is not a good thing. That this is not about peace. This is not something that we want to support or be engaged in. And then sometimes it might be necessary for we who are Christians to accept the responsibility of conscientious objection and to say, I'm very sorry, but we cannot stand with this. And that's when it gets hard. And we need to, as a Christian community, be ready to discern what is the truth in this and what is our calling in this. We are trying together to make the kingdom of God be revealed. And it's revealed in peace, and it's revealed in the suppression of evil and in the advancement of the gospel. It's not easy to be a soldier. It's not easy to put yourself in harm's way. But may it be that our soldiers continue to be given the cause that is righteous and advance peace. For peace is the will of God for this world. And as we help it be seen and revealed, we truly are together doing the will of God.